Guinea, who won the Open Society Institute's Roma Literary Award in 2003, lives in the western Czech town of Rokycany. He writes in the Romani language, spoken by generations of his ancestors from the rural Romani settlements of eastern Slovakia. Andrei was still a small child when the family came to Prague after World War II, leaving behind an ancient and rural world, where Roma life had changed little for generations.
Bari balvai agri purdel lecha yenge orokli hazdel.
They combed all Preshov several times, but there was no work to be had. They came home worn out and hungry. What now? I'm going to the dump. Maybe I'll find some old paper, rags, or iron. I'll sell them to the old Jew, Pop said. I can't just hang around here. The next morning, before sunrise, Pop said goodbye and left. He went to the dump. He had been there 1,000 times. He knew every inch of it, but today there was nothing to be found. Rubbish was blowing around. Nothing but junk. Nothing that could make you a few crowns. Mother of God, may this mangy world go to hell, Pop cursed. I needn't have come. The paper is all wet. It falls to pieces the moment you touch it, and my shoes will fall apart. I'll end up going home barefoot. Then it occurred to Pop to try and use a stick to stir up the rubbish. He found one and went on. But there was nothing. He poked the stick into a pile of junk and listened as it hit something tin. At least a decent bit of iron would bring a few crowns. He pushed the rubbish away. He looked and saw a tin box in front of him.
An extract there from Andrei Guinea's edition of three short stories, published in a parallel Czech and Romani version under the title Svadba, The Wedding. The working English translation is mine, as unfortunately none of Guinea's work has yet been published in English. And by the way, that was also Andrei you heard singing, but we'll return to that again in a minute. Andrei Guinea and his wife live in a modest, modern house in Rokycany. It's a world away from the old Romani settlements of eastern Slovakia, and perhaps because of this, all his stories recall that old world, with a mixture of nostalgia and a very raw portrayal of the poverty in which they lived.
Tam jsme měli kovárnu a tam
We had a smithy. There wasn't a blacksmith in the neighborhood villages, so Dad usually had work. He was very clever. People liked him. He was also an excellent and well-known musician, a band leader. When he had work, we lived well. We even had a very fine cottage, almost like the houses over in the village where the Gadžo lived.
Krásnej domek, takovej jako gadžovskej skoro. A ty osadě, co jsme byli, tak tam bylo asi 7 rodin tam. A většinou sami příbuzní, že jo.
There were 7 families in our settlement. In 1942, the Slovak fascists came and made us move. They demolished our cottages, and we had to move 2 kilometers out of the village. I was 6. We were very poor. That year, it was very dry. My parents begged and went to collect rotten potatoes left on the field. It was dreadful.
Just by the dump, there was a nice enough place where the grass grew. I'll sit down for a minute, rest my old legs, he said to himself. He put the box down next to him. Why cart this junk along with me? He threw it aside. But again he couldn't bring himself to throw it away. He picked it up again. He tried to open it. It wouldn't give. It was padlocked. You just wait, I'll show you. Just you wait till I found a bit of iron or a decent stone. I'll break you to pieces, he said to the box. He hit it with a stone. The lock broke, and the box opened. Little wads of paper, bound up one next to the other with bands round them. What could they be? In Brešov, he'd seen the Jew selling lottery tickets. That's what they must be, Pop said to himself. At least I might win something, if there's so many of them. Pop couldn't read or write, and he'd never seen a 1,000-crown note in his life. He had no idea what he'd found. He looked through the wads of paper and concluded they must be lottery tickets. They were wet. I'll put them in the sun to dry. He took the money out and spread it on the grass. He sat on the ground smoking and waiting for the tickets to dry. A woman from the village came by, a peasant woman in the old-fashioned dress they used to wear round Brezhov. She stopped, looked. Her eyes nearly popped out of her head. But she didn't let it show. So, old man, waiting for those papers to dry? You've got it, my girl, just waiting. Nice papers, those. Won't you give me a couple? Heavens, take what you want. Take the lot if you like. I'm fed up waiting for them to dry. The peasant woman bent down and quick as a flash, collected the money in her apron. She thanked Pop and threw him 20 crowns. Pop was delighted. He wanted to head off straight away, but saw one last paper lying by the box. He put it in his pocket and headed home. When he arrived, he handed his wife the 20 crowns with great pride.
Ginia has a great gift for creating the atmosphere of a time and place in just a few words, and then bringing that world alive with vivid characters. His gift of storytelling and the isolated rural world he depicts remind me a lot of the stories of Shalom Aleichem from the end of the 19th century. He was the writer who, writing in Yiddish, most vividly depicted the life of the Jewish villages or shtetls of today's Ukraine. His stories were also the inspiration for Fiddler on the Roof, and it was a world that was probably not so very different from the life in the Romani settlements. Another parallel is the role of music. Many of the characters that come and go in Andrei Ginia's stories are musicians. In the old days, it was often the only way of making a living. Andrei himself used to play in a professional band.
Trošku jsem se potatil asi, no, protože
I'm a musician after my father. We are all musical in the family. My older brother started at 13 or 14 playing with dad. We small kids would follow behind. I learned the violin, but somehow I just wasn't good at it. So I went over to the guitar, and that's the instrument I've stayed with.
He told her about the dump and the lottery tickets. His wife turned to him, eyes wide open in disbelief. "Where are those tickets?" she began to shake him. "I gave them to some woman from the village." "Show me," she shrieked, like a mad woman. He slowly pulled out the 1,000-crown note and handed it to his wife. She began to scream and spit curses. She began to swoon, and her head was spinning. "You gave these papers to a woman from the village? A whole apron full? Are you mad? Don't you know it's money? 1,000 crowns? Pop sank to the ground as if someone had pulled his legs from under him. "Come here, everyone," shrieked Pavlina. "Come and look at the biggest idiot who ever walked this earth." First came Yula, their oldest son. Then their other sons, Lajos and Janusz. And then the other Roma from the settlement. His wife spouted the most crude oaths imaginable, ignoring the little children around them. Gradually, the Roma realized what had happened. They began to laugh at Pop. Gyula and Lajos couldn't bear it any more, seeing what their mother was doing to their father. "Stop it," cried Gyula. "Aren't you sorry for him? Leave him be." Mother stood still, like a pillar of salt. Go home and mind your own business, Gyula shouted at the crowd. How many of you know what a 1,000-crown note looks like? Which of you has ever seen one? You, or you maybe? He pointed at them one after another. What would you have done with those papers if it had been you? The Roma were ashamed. Gyula was right. Not many of them would have recognized that it was money. They gradually drifted away. Pavlina went home. For the rest of that day, neither of them spoke.
Writing is not part of Romani tradition, but storytelling, passing stories from generation to generation, most definitely is. Tales would shift and change with the teller. The story we've just been hearing, for example, is one that was passed down to Andrei's wife through her grandfather. Andrei came to realize that times were changing, that the tradition, once broken, would be lost forever. That was how he came to write.
Tady v Rokycanech žil jistý velice hodný pán, velice příjemný a vzdělaný.
In Rokycany there used to be a very cultivated, educated man, Dr. Jager. He got on very, very well with Roma, especially children. He would come to see us. One day Mom was telling some old Romani stories. He heard them and was impressed. He said, this should all be written down. I remember to this day a comparison he made. He said, Andrei, look, there's an old church in Rokycany. It is full of history, and if it were demolished, then we would really lose something. It's the same if a story is lost. This captured my imagination. I talked about it with my mother. I recorded her telling the stories, and then I wrote it all down.
Dobrý a správný krok, no, co jsme udělali.
And as Andrei sings there, that brings this look at Andrei Ghinia's work to an end. You can find the whole program on our website, www.radio.cz. But for the time being, from me, David Vaughan, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.